And now we're ready for the Word of God. And if you'll stand with me, I'll read God's Word, John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are, the King James says, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. Let your word go out today and be received by hearts, and let it accomplish that for which you sent it to do. We depend on you, Lord. We pray for your anointing today. We pray for you to work in hearts and touch hearts and to bring about transformation in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was a child, my family would take a few days off each year to go to the mountains or to the beach. My dad liked to travel at night. I can remember all of us loading up in his 1956 two-tone green Chevrolet and heading out about sunset. I was just a kid, so I didn't know how we were going to get to that destination, and I didn't know how long it was going to take, but eventually we would pull up somewhere at a little cabin where we would spend our vacation. You know, living for Jesus is a lot like it was when my family traveled in the middle of the night. With Jesus, we must trust that He knows where we are going when we die. We know we are going to heaven because He said so. But the beautiful part of the story is that He knows the way to get there. In this passage, Jesus is talking to the disciples, is coming on the heels of Him sharing some disturbing news with them concerning the things that would be happening to Him very shortly. And we just want to get into this and see what God says as we unpack these six verses. First of all, in your notes, we see the disciples' problem. The very first verse, very first part, let not your heart be troubled. They were troubled. Now, if we look further, we can see what that may be about. But before we do, I want to deal with mansions, because that seems to be a little bit of a quandary to a lot of people, because some translations say mansions, some translations say rooms or houses or whatever. The Greek word for mansion is mone. It means an abode or a room. But the first century church insisted on calling it a mansion. So John 14, 23, we'll go over there. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The second verse that we want to look at is verse 23, or the second use for verse 23. It explains the meaning of the word. It simply means an abode or a place of residence. God's house is a house of many abodes. Scripture makes it clear that the place of God's residence is not in temples made with men's hands, but he lives within the people of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Verse 17 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." When we get to heaven, we're going to receive new bodies, glorified bodies. God will live within each of us, just as God lives within each of us now through the Holy Spirit. Be careful what you do with your body. Be careful where you take your body. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you see. Be careful concerning anything you do with your body, because as a Christian believer, God lives within you. Do not defile that body. That body is precious to God. And remember, we saw this a couple of weeks ago. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. God owns us now. He owns our body. And so we should ask God what we should do when we are in doubt concerning our body. So that's the mansions there, but getting on into the verse, the disciples were troubled. First of all, the disciples were troubled regarding Jesus' future. And to see that, we'd have to go back into chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. I'll read that for you. "When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke." He had been talking, and he's still talking, about the fact that Judas is going to betray him. Now, he does not name Judas. He's not naming Judas, but that's who he's talking about. So even Jesus himself was troubled at that moment. Now, you can ask yourself, why was Jesus troubled? Well, I believe he was troubled because he thought, what a waste. Judas could have been loyal to me. He could be a faithful follower of me, but instead he's going to betray me and go against the things of the kingdom. I believe that's why he was troubled. Jesus wasn't troubled because he was going to the cross. He'd come to earth to go to the cross. We see in the second place, the disciples were troubled regarding their own futures. John 13, 36 to 38. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." The disciples were troubled. This is why they were troubled. Their Lord was going to leave them. They were going to be without the Lord, they thought. They didn't understand what was happening next. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to show them the way because he is the way. You ever been lost? Now, I'm not talking about spiritually. We were all spiritually lost until we came to Christ. But I'm talking about physically lost. You've been out in the, you go out to the middle of the country and you say, where am I now? I tell you where you can really get lost is Atlanta, Georgia. Don't they have about five Peachtree streets or something? Their street systems make no sense at all. So you can get lost in Washington, in Atlanta very easily, and also Washington same way. But you've been lost. Now, in this day of GPS, we get out of that pickle pretty quick, don't we? Usually. But think back, before we had phones with GPS, you may have had a road map in your car. Wherever we would go, Judy was the navigator. We had this big old road map. You know, you never can fold those things back the way it came. You ever notice that? If you fold out that big old road map, you can't get it. Now, Mark over here probably could do it. But most of us can't put it back. I'm glad I don't have to use road map anymore. But sometimes, even with a road map, you say, I don't know how to get out of here. These disciples were lost without their Savior. Because he had told them, you'll reign with me. You'll rule with me. But now, they're not so sure. So that's their problem. Secondly, look at the disciples' promise. 1b through 3. Their promise was based upon three things. Let me read this again. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's the first thing. Relationship. They had a relationship with Jesus. They believed on him. Then the second thing is position. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. They had a position with Jesus. He was going to prepare a place for them. And then thirdly, there was fellowship, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to tell you this, folks. Are you scared of death? Don't be. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not be scared of dying. And these three things right here are the guarantee of your promise. If you're saved in Christ, you have a relationship. If you're saved in Christ, you have a position. I go to prepare a place for you. If you're saved in Christ, you have fellowship with him. I will come and draw you unto myself. You'll be with me. Don't fear death. Don't fear death. You say, well, I'm afraid of the sting of death. I'm just afraid of what happens right at the second of death. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that the Lord Jesus Christ took out the sting of death. Took it out. Have you ever been stung by a bee? Well, when that bee stung you, you're the last person that be stung. Because when he stung you, part of his intestines came out and he flies off and he dies. That's a pretty graphic picture right before lunch. you know the story about the farmer's driving down the road, his pickup truck, got his son in the cab of the truck, and a bee comes in. And the son is allergic to bee sting, and he just goes into a panic. And he tells his dad, he said, that bee's going to sting me. I'm going to get sick. And all of a sudden, his dad goes, shoo. He catches that bee in his hand and holds it. And the bee stings him. Then he opens his hand. Daddy, don't let the bee go. It'll sting me. He said, it's okay. Stinger's gone. That's what Jesus says to us. Don't fear the sting of death. The stinger is gone. When we face the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be the greatest hallelujah moment we've ever had in our lives. Don't fear what's coming, because that's going to be wonderful. And it's going to be just the beginning. That's just going through the threshold. When you get into glory, oh my. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be beautiful. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If God's preparing a place for us, don't you know it's going to be great? Amen? So the promise was based upon relationship, position, and fellowship. But then there's the disciples' pathway, verses 4 through 6. Without Christ, the pathway is hidden. I want you to see this in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Well, for the non-believer, the one who does not believe in Christ, that pathway is hidden. They don't know where the pathway to life is because it's hidden from them. But with Christ, the pathway is revealed. Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We see in this that Jesus is the way. In Isaiah 35:8, it says, Jesus is the highway where he is called the way of holiness. Jesus' way is best because he entered into the holy place by his own blood, Hebrews 9:12. In Jesus Christ, God and man meet as we follow his doctrine and example. Jesus' way leads to rest. Our hearts are no longer troubled. But that way is a path. It's like a path. Well, let me tell you about a dog I once had, best dog I've ever had. Her name was Coco, Chocolate Lab. She was a sweetheart. She was about this high on all fours, and about 75 pounds, and she was a booger to get in a bathtub and give a bath. I got wetter than she did. But Coco wanted to go to the neighbors to do her business once a day. And so she'd run over to the neighbor's yard, do her business. I'd go to the door, and I'd call out Coco, and faithful Coco would just come a-running. Well, I noticed something. Coco traveled the same path, going and coming. It's amazing how a dog does that. Every day, same path, going and coming. It didn't take long for the grass to get worn out on that path. I could just open the front door, and I could see from my yard to the neighbor's yard, as far as I could see that path. And there it was. And I knew when I called Coco, she'd come down that path. And she did. That's how she got back. This is like the Christian's path. Our pathway is the same one that Jesus trod. We can follow him in a righteous way of life. And eventually, we'll follow him all the way to heaven. Just stay on that path. Once you get saved, you're on that path. Now, you shouldn't just say, well, I'm saved, I'm good. No, you need to grow as a Christian. You need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to become mature in the faith. But all through that process of becoming saved and becoming a disciple and being discipled and then discipling others, that whole process takes place on one path, and it's the path that Jesus pioneered. He's the one who found the path. He is the path. And as we follow Him faithfully every day, we'll be blessed. Not only is Jesus the way, but Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the substance of all Old Testament types, which are said to be figures of the true tabernacle. Hebrews 8:2. Jesus' doctrine is true. When looking for truth, we need look no further than Jesus to find all truth which resides in Him. And then finally, Jesus is true to all who trust Him because He is the essence of truth. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God are in Him, and they are ours as well. There's a movement going on in our world right now. It's called the Apostolic Reformation Movement. And some big name preachers and some big name churches are getting on the bandwagon. Not just one denomination, but it's coming from all denominations, and some of them are Southern Baptist. This is a movement going on within the body of Christ today that says if something works, then it must be faith. In other words, if a person has a sickness, they just simply tell that sickness to go away, and when it does, it was God who did the miracle. None of this is based upon the truth of God's Word. God's Word takes a back seat to experience. Noted writers like C. Peter Wagner and David Wimber of the Vine Church are two of the leaders of this movement. And as I said, there's some well-known Southern Baptists that are falling into it also. And to put it into a little nutshell, they just simply say, well, there was the early church, you had the first apostles, and they got things kicked off. Now, in the 21st century, things are slowing down, the momentum of the church is slowing down, so there was a need for the apostles to come back. And so these apostles are self-proclaimed people like C. Peter Wagner and people like him. They say they're apostles, and they say that every area has churches. There's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. And in every area, there should be one apostle, and that apostle tells those churches what to do so that the pastors can be freed up to do evangelism. Now, that all sounds real good, but it's not biblical. It's not biblical. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you watch Joel Osteen? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that you watch him. Joel Osteen is a false prophet. Joel Osteen says there's no hell. That one point makes him a heretic. That one point. He's in there with I know his name. Crystal Cathedral. What? Yeah, Robert Schuller. Right in there with Robert Schuller, who also taught there's no hell. The scriptures tell us that if a person holds to one unorthodox teaching, one false teaching, then that person's a heretic. Do not listen to those people. Joel Osteen is always smiling. He's just so happy. And he wants you to be rich. He wants you to have that prosperity gospel. He lives in a mansion himself. Not one that God's preparing for him, but one he built. Yeah. A lot of false teachers. So we need to be careful. Church, just know this. Jesus is the truth. You do not put all your eggs in one basket for any preacher or any church or any other institution. You put your eggs all in Jesus' basket. And you depend upon what he says. And the primary source of where you're going to get that is right here. God's Word. God's Word that is not mixed with any other teaching. It must be purely God's Word. Jesus said there would be false prophets. He said the wolves would be among the sheep. Well, we're in that day. We're here now with that happening. How can I be protected against this? Jesus. And the Word of God gives revelation of Jesus. That's the way. Also, have confidence in fellow Christians who are on that way and they are living in that truth and they've demonstrated that. And be mentored by them. Well, that we better move on. Yeah, do y'all send letters to the pastor or emails when you don't like it? I hadn't gotten any yet. If you do, sign it. Because in the past, whenever people send me stuff, they never would sign it. You know what I do with unsigned letters? I don't read them. Okay, number three. Jesus is the... I'm almost done. Jesus is the life. He is the life. That's why we want to follow him. We are alive unto God only in and through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That word reckon, that's not originally a southern word. Well, I reckon I'm going to go to school. No, it's not originally a southern word. It's Paul used it. It's an accounting term. And it's where you reconcile things, where things balance out. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's saying here. When you look at your life and you look at the balance sheet of your life, this is how you balance. If you are in Christ, reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead to sin. We're going to sin as long as we're in this body. But we ought to have an attitude where we say, you know, I'm going to try not to sin today. And with God's help, I'm going to try not to sin today. And you'll have a day that won't have as much sin if you had prayed otherwise. Christ in us gives life to our souls. You know that, don't you? We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and Christ gave us life. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Don't be afraid of dying. When Christ is revealed, we're going to be right there with him. And I believe, Shannon, we're going to be singing. We're going to be like a big heavenly choir. Man, that's going to be a sight. That's going to be exciting to be part of that, isn't it? Amen? Sure, it's going to be exciting. You remember Martha? She was grieving the death of Lazarus. And Jesus had waited 4 days to come. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus. But Martha got a little lippy with him. Lord, why didn't you come sooner? This is what Jesus said to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And you know what he did, don't you? He looked over there at that grave where Lazarus was. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was still bound in his grave clothes, and he must have hopscotched out the opening. And Jesus said, loose him. Oh, you know why he had to say Lazarus? If he would just said, come forth, then every dead person in the area would have arisen. He's the resurrection and the life. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Just to close this, let me just say, Christ is the beginning, the middle, and the end. Do you believe that? He's the everything. In him, we start the journey, continue on, and finish the course. As the truth, he is the guide of our way. As the life, he is the end of it. He is the true and living way, Hebrews 10:20. He is the true way to life, the only true way. Other ways may seem right, but the end of them is the way of death. Well, I guess you know where I stand on all that now. Are you in agreement with all those things? Today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, why don't you receive him today? Receive him today. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you are God, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and I believe on the third day you arose from death. So, Lord, save my soul. And you ask him to do that, he'll save you. Romans 10:13, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And once you're saved, you're on the pathway. You're on that pathway with the rest of us. Those of you who are believers, maybe you're kind of out of fellowship with God right now. He wants you to be close to him in that fellowship. He doesn't want any broken fellowship. Why don't you come back to that fellowship today? Repent of whatever it is, and he will cleanse you. He'll just keep on cleansing every day. The altar's open. Before we have our time of invitation, let's have prayer. Father, we come to you thanking you for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way we can come to the Father is through him. Today, Lord, I know there's individuals here with needs. And I pray, Lord, that if they need encouragement, if they're troubled, I pray, Lord, that you would give them encouragement today so they may realize the victory they already have. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Stand with me and come. Seated for just a minute because Brian's going to come up. But I want to thank you for your attention today. And anytime if you would like to just call me or email me or just see me in person and you have questions about anything, don't hesitate to let me know. That's what we're here for. Brian?
All right. Just real quickly, reminder, if you were here last Sunday, you heard that we do have a business meeting immediately following. We're going to start the clock at 10 minutes. If you've got a child, if you'd go on back and grab that child, bring them in, that allows the workers to participate in that. And again, that meeting is to deal with one item. As Pastor Donnie mentioned to you last week, he has talked throughout the transition time about a need for 7 different roles on the pastor search committee. And so as we started down that path, we realized that the bylaws say a number of 5. And so what we are asking to do is simply suspend that rule, not change the bylaw, but suspend that rule for this pastor search committee to be a committee of 7. So that's the one thing we've got to take care of. I also want to announce to you that we will have a meeting next Sunday to look at those names. So we are very, very close, and we want to announce those names to you. We'll have to do that in a business meeting form. And then the following Sunday, if all that goes well, we will vote on those names. So I know that's, to you, you're hearing meeting, meeting, meeting. But what I would encourage you about is that you've been asking our pastors, the deacons, the different ministry leaders, hey, when are we going to start searching for a pastor? We're there. And so for the extra 20 minutes we're asking you to stay for the next few weeks, I can assure you there have been hours and hours of meetings, prayer, and conversations trying to push us forward to get to that point. So I see this as a very exciting time for our church, and I hope you as a member will stay those extra minutes for these next few weeks and be a part of the church's business here at Lakeview. It's an exciting time, and again, so just to reiterate, meeting in 10 minutes. We'll start the clock as soon as Pastor Shannon gives the benediction, and then a meeting again next Sunday where you'll hear the names of that pastor search committee. We think we should have those by next Sunday. Good? See, nodding heads or yes? Okay, very good. Pastor Shannon, I'll let you give the benediction, and then we'll get started in 10 minutes.
Thank you. And I do just want to remind you of one thing before I pray. Remember, all Sunday school members, teachers, we're beginning our new study next week called Walking with Christ Together. And hopefully by now that you've all heard about this. If you are not part of a Sunday school class, I want to invite you. This is a perfect time to come join. If we start at 9 o'clock, and there's a class for everyone here. So if you come right before 9 o'clock, I can personally help you, or someone else can help you find that class for you. But we're going to be starting that study next week. And so if you have any questions on that, of course, you can see any of the pastors and any of the Sunday school directors, and we'll be able to help you with that. If you did not get one of those booklets today, they should be in your Sunday school class if you're part of the class. If you're interested in being part of the class, come see me, and I will get you hooked up with that, okay? Let me have a word of prayer for us, and then we will start the clock for the business meeting. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time today. We just thank you for the abundant life that we have in Christ, and thank you for the promise that we have of eternity in heaven with you. And Lord, I pray today that you just continue to work and move in this church. Lord, even as we have these business meetings over the next few weeks, Lord, we're excited in how you're working, how you're moving, and how you're just the things that you're doing here at Lakeview, all for your glory and for your praise. And so, Lord, we dismiss in a way that, God, that we pray that even after this week, that we'll be used of you, God, whether it be in our workplace, whether it be in our homes, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.